got me.
Me, Mark!
Oh, it can't be. Just sent you back to the future.
Oh, I know you did send me back to the future, but I'm back. I'm back from the future.
November 13th, 1955, 7:01 a.m. Last night's time travel experiment was apparently a complete success. Lightning struck the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m., sending the necessary 1.21 gigawatts into the time vehicle, which vanished in a brilliant flash of light, leaving a pair of fire trails behind. I therefore assume that Marty and the time vehicle were transported forward through time into the year 1985. After that, I can't recall what happened. In fact, I don't even remember how I got home. Perhaps the gigawatt discharge, coupled with a temporal displacement field generated by the time vehicle, caused a disruption of my own brainwaves, resulting in a condition of momentary amnesia. Indeed, I now recall that moments after the time vehicle disappeared into the future, I saw a vision of Marty say he had come back from the future.
Hey, Doc.
Undoubtedly, this was some sort of a image.
Doc. Calm down, okay? Just calm down. It's me. It's Marty.
No, it can't be you. I sent you back to the future.
That's right, Doc. That's right, but I came back again. I came back from the future. Don't you remember last night? You fainted. I brought you home.
This can't be happening. You can't be here. It doesn't make sense for you to be here. I still
can't
believe that you are here.
Doc, I am here, and it does make sense. Look, I came back to 1955 again with you, the you from 1985, because we had to get a book from Biff. So once I got a book back, you, that is the you from 1985, we're in the DeLorean, and it got struck by lightning, and you got sent back to
1885!
It's a very interesting story, future boy. But there's just one little thing that doesn't make sense. If the me in the future is now in the past, how could you possibly know about it?
You sent me a letter.
Dear Marty, if my calculations are correct, you will receive this letter immediately after you saw the DeLorean struck by lightning. First, let me assure you that I am alive and well. I've been living happily these past 8 months in the year 1885.
A lightning bolt that hit the DeLorean caused a gigawatt overload, which scrambled the time circuits, activated the flux capacitor, and sent me back to 1885. The overload shorted out the time circuits and destroyed the flying circuits. Unfortunately, the car will never fly again. It actually flew.
Yeah, we had a hover conversion done in the early 21st century.
Incredible. I set myself up as a blacksmith as a front while I attempted to repair the damage to the time circuits. Unfortunately, this proved impossible because suitable replacement parts will not be invented until 1947. However, I've gotten quite adept at shoeing horses and fixing wagons. 1885. Amazing. I actually end up as a blacksmith in the Old West.
Pretty heavy, huh?
I have buried the DeLorean in the abandoned Delgado mine adjacent to the old Boot Hill Cemetery as shown on the enclosed map. Hopefully it should remain undisturbed and preserved until you uncover it in 1955. Inside, you will find repair instructions. My 1955 counterpart, that's me, should have no problem repairing it so that you can drive it back to the future. Once you have returned to 1985, destroy the time machine. Destroy it?
Yeah, well, it's a long story, Doc.
Do not. I repeat, do not attempt to come back here to get me. I am perfectly happy living in the fresh air and wide open spaces, and I fear that unnecessary time travel only risks further disruption of the space-time continuum. And please take care of Einstein for me. Einstein?
He's your dog, Doc. Einstein, it's what you call your dog in 1985.
I know you will give him a good home. Remember to walk him twice a day and that he only likes canned dog food. These are my wishes. Please respect them and follow them. And so, Marty, I now say farewell and wish you Godspeed. You've been a good, kind, and loyal friend to me, and you made a real difference in my life. I will always treasure our relationship and think on you with fond memories, warm feelings, and a special place in my heart. Your friend in time, Doc M.L. Brown, September 1st, 1885. I never knew I could write anything so touching.
I know, Doc. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's all right, Copernicus. Everything's going to be fine.
I'm sorry, Doc. It's all my fault you're stuck back there. I never should have let Biff get to me.
Well, there are plenty worse places to be than the Old West. I could have ended up in the Dark Ages. They probably would have burned me at the stake as a heretic or something. Let's look at the map. All right, according to this, the time vehicle sealed off in a side tunnel. We may have to blast.
Whoa. I think you woke up the dead with that blast.
Take this camera. I want to document everything.
I took the time. I attempted to reach the center of the Earth. I've been reading my favorite author, Jules Verne. I spent weeks preparing that expedition. I didn't even get this far. Of course, I was only 12 at the time. You know, those writings of Jules Verne that had a profound effect on my life. It was when I was 11 that I first read 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And then I realized that I must devote my life to science.
Doc, check it out. Look at this.
My initials! Just like in Journey to the Center of the Earth! That means the time machine must be right through this wall!
You can see, the lightning bolt shorted out the time circuit control microchip. The attached
schematic
diagram will allow you to build a replacement unit with 1955 components, thus restoring the time machine to perfect working order.
Unbelievable that this little piece of junk could be such a big problem.
No wonder this circuit fails. It says made in Japan.
What do you mean, Doc? All the best stuff is made in Japan.
Unbelievable.
You know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a cowboy. And now, knowing I'm going to spend my future in the past, sounds like a wonderful way to spend my retirement years. Just occurred to me, Marty, since I end up in 1885, perhaps I'm now in the history books. I wonder, could I go to the library and look myself up in the old newspaper archives?
I don't know, Doc. You're the one that's always saying, you know, it's not good to know too much about your own destiny.
You're right, Marty. I know too much already. Better that I not attempt to uncover the circumstances of my own future. Pernicus! Come on, boy!
I'll get him, Doc. Fergus, come on, let's go home, boy. What's wrong? What's wrong, Fergus? Come on. Come on, let's go home. Come on. Doc! Doc! Come here, quick!
What's wrong, Marty? You look like you've seen a ghost.
You're not far off, Doc.
Great Scott.
Check this out. Died September 7th, 1885. That's 1 week after you wrote the letter. Erected in eternal memory by his beloved Clara. Who the hell is Clara?
Marty, please don't stand there.
Oh, right. Sorry. I gotta get another picture.
Shot in the back by Buford Tannen for a matter of $80. What kind of a future do you call that?
Buford Tannen was a notorious gunman whose short temper and a tendency to drool earned him the nickname Mad Dog. He was quick on the trigger and bragged that he had killed 12 men, not including Indians or Chinamen.
Doesn't mention me! Am I one of the 12?
Just a minute. However, this claim cannot be substantiated since precise records were not kept after Tannen shot a newspaper editor who printed an unfavorable story about him in 1884. That's why we can't find anything.
Look! William McFlyer family. Your relatives?
My great-grandfather's name was William. That's him. Good-looking guy.
The flies. The no browns.
Well, maybe it was a mistake, Doc. Maybe that grave wasn't yours. It could have been another Emmett Brown back in 1885.
No.
I don't know, did you have any relatives here back then?
The Browns didn't come to Hill Valley until 1908, and then they were the Von Browns. My father changed our name during the First World War.
Doc, look.
It is true. All of it. It is me who goes back there and gets shot.
It's not going to happen, Doc. After you fix the time circuits and put new tires on the DeLorean, I'm going back to 1885 and I'm bringing you home. Yeah, I have, Doc. And Clint Eastwood never wore anything like this.
Take the hoop.
That's right. You haven't heard of him yet.
Marty, you have to wear the boots. You can't wear those futuristic things back in 1885. You shouldn't even be wearing them here in 1955.
All right, Doc. Look, as soon as I get there, I'll put them on, I promise.
Okay. I think we're about ready. I put gas in the tank. Your future clothes are packed. Just a case. Press batteries for your walkie-talkies. Oh, what about that floating device?
Hoverboard.
All right.
You know, Doc, it's going to be a hell of a long walk back to Hill Valley from here.
Still the safest plan. After all, we can't risk sending you back into a populated area or to a spot that's geographically unknown. You don't want to crash into some tree that once existed in the past. This is all completely open country, so you'll have plenty of runout space when you arrive. Remember where you're going. There are no roads. And there's a small cave over there which will be a perfect place to hide the time vehicle. Well, the new time circuit control tubes are warmed up. Time circuit's on. I wrote the letter on September 1st, so we'll send you back the very next day, September 2nd. That's a Wednesday, September 2nd, 1885, 8 a.m.
I get shot on Monday the 7th, so you have 5 days to locate me. According to my letter, I'm a blacksmith, so I probably have a shop somewhere.
All you have to do is drive the time vehicle directly toward that screen, accelerated 88 miles an hour.
Wait a minute, Doc. If I drive straight towards the screen, I'm going to crash into those Indians.
Marty, cannot think he's fourth-dimensionally. They'll instantly be transported to 1885, and those Indians won't even be there.
Right.
Well, good luck for both of our sakes. See you in the future.
You mean the past?
Exactly.
Damn, I ripped the fuel line.
For nearly 6 hours now.
And this horrible nightmare.
I dreamed I was in a western. I was being chased by all these Indians and a bear.
Well, you're safe and sound here now at the McFly Farm.
McFly Farm? Ah! Well, you're my... Who are you?
The name's McFly. Maggie McFly.
McFly? Maggie?
And that's Mrs. McFly, and don't you be forgetting the Mrs. And what might your name be, sir?
Well, it's Mc... Eastwood? Clint Eastwood?
Well, you hit your head, Mr. Eastwood. Not too serious, but lucky for you, Seamus found you when he did.
Seamus?
Me husband. You'll be excusing me, Mr. Eastwood, while I tend to William.
William?
Oh, that's okay, Will. It's okay.
That's William?
Aye. William Sean McFly, the first of our family to be born in America.
Oh, it's okay, Will. This here is Mr. Clint Eastwood here. Visit him.
He certainly likes you, Mr. Eastwood.
Maggie! I've got supper.
I'm not one to pry into a man's personal affairs, but exactly how is it that you came to be way out here without a horse or boots or a hat?
Well, my horse broke down and a bear ate my boots, and I guess I just forgot my hat.
How could you forget a thing like your hat? Would you like some water?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Mr. Eastwood. I'll help you find your blacksmith friend. You can stay the night in the barn. And tomorrow, I'll take you as far as the railroad tracks. You can follow him straight on into town. I'll even give you a hat.
That's great. Thanks.
William. Yes. I think you'll find the barn comfortable. Never had any complaints about it from the pigs.
Seamus. A word with you.
Aye. Will you hold him for a minute?
After bringing a curse on this house, taking him in like that. He's such a strange young man.
Aye, but I've just got a feeling about him, Maggie. That looking after him's the right thing to do. That's important.
Hey, buddy.
Look how my Bobby takes to him. Little Will never takes to strangers. It's almost as if he's connected to us.
Hey, Will.
So you're my great-grandfather. First McFly born in America.
And you peed on me.
Thank you.
Look and see what just breathed in the door.
Why, I didn't know the circus was in town.
Must have got that shirt off on a dead Chinese.
What'll it be, stranger?
I'll have, ice water.
Ice
water? You want water, you better go dunk your head in the horse trough after. In here, we pour whiskey.
Excuse me.
What?
I'm trying to find a blacksmith.
Hey, Mr. Sly! Thought I'd have told you never to come in.
Hey, you ain't shameless, McFly. You look like a no. Especially with that dog ugly hat.
You kin to that hay barber? What's your name, dude?
Mark Eastwood. Clint Eastwood.
What kind of stupid name is that?
I'd say he's the run of the litter.
Hey now, boys.
Would you take a look, see if he's pearly white? Hell, I ain't seen feet look as straight more than store bought.
Take a gander at them moccasins. What kind of skins is them?
What's that writing mean? Knee K. What is that? Some sort of Asian talk or something?
Bartender. I'm looking for that no-good cheating blacksmith. You seen him?
No, sir, Mr. Tannen, I have not.
Tannen? Your man, Doug Tannen.
Mad Dog. I hate that name. I hate it. You hear? Nobody calls me Mad Dog. Especially not some dooted up, egg sucking gutter trash.
Squirrel.
Get him! Help!
shoot the fleas off a dog's back at 500 yards, Tannen. And it's pointed straight at your head.
You owe me money, blacksmith.
How do you figure?
My horse threw a shoe. And seeing as you was the one that done the shoe, and I say that makes you responsible.
Well, since you never paid me for that job, I say that makes us even.
Wrong! See, I was on my horse when it threw the shoe, and I got thrown off. And that caused me to bust a perfectly good bottle of fine Kentucky Red Eye. So the way I figure it, blacksmith, you owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
That's the $80.
Look, if your horse threw a shoe, bring him back and I'll reshoe him.
I done shot that horse.
Well, that's your problem, Tannen.
Wrong. That's yours. So from now on, you better be looking behind you when you walk. Because one day you're going to get a bullet in your back. Look!
Doc.
Marty, I gave you explicit instructions not to come here, but to go directly back to 1985.
I know, Doc, but I had to come.
But it's good to see you, Marty. Marty, you're going to have to do something about those clothes. You walk around town dressed like that, you're liable to get shot.
Or hanged.
What idiot dressed you in that outfit?
You did.
Shot in the back by Buford Tannen over a matter of $80. September 7th. That's this Monday.
Now I wish I'd paid him off.
And who's this beloved Clara? I don't know anyone named Clara.
I don't know, Doc. I thought maybe she was a girlfriend of yours.
Marty, my involvement in such a social relationship here in 1885 could result in a disruption of the space-time continuum. As a scientist, I can never take that risk. Certainly not after what we've already been through.
Hubert! Ho, Emmett!
Hubert! It's the mayor!
Excuse me, Emmett. Do you remember last week at the town meeting when you volunteered to meet the new school teacher at the station when she came in?
Oh, yes, quite so.
Well, we just got word she's coming in tomorrow. Here are the details for you. Thanks for all your help.
Anytime, Hubert!
Oh! Her name's Miss Clayton. Clara Clayton.
Well, Doc! Now we know who Clara is.
Marty, it's impossible. The idea that I could fall in love at first sight is romantic nonsense. There's no scientific rationale for that.
Come on, Doc, it's not science. You meet the right girl, it just hits you. It's like lightning.
Marty, please don't say that.
That's the way it was me and Jennifer. I mean, we couldn't keep our eyes off each other. God, Jennifer, damn, I hope she's all right, Doc. I can't believe we just left her there on the porch.
Don't worry, Marty. She'll be fine. When you burn the almanac in 1955, the normal timeline was restored. That means once we're back in 1985, you just have to go over to the house and wake her up. Oh, Marty, turn that valve over there. All the way to the right. Jeff, put it all the way around. Okay, let's go. Ice tea?
No, thanks. It's a refrigerator.
Well, I guess Miss Clayton will have to find another transportation.
I never meet the woman. There's no possibility of a romantic infatuation, right?
You're the doc, Doc.
All right. Get the DeLorean and get ourselves back to the future.
Oh, listen, Doc. I tore a hole in the gas tank when I was landing, so we're going to have to patch it up and get some gas.
You mean we're out of gas?
Yeah, it's no big deal. We got Mr. Fusion, right?
Mr. Fusion powers the time circuits and the flux capacitor. But the internal combustion engine runs on ordinary gasoline. It always has. There's not going to be a gas station around here until sometime in the next century. Without gasoline, we can't get the DeLorean up to 88 miles per hour.
So what do we do?
Ah!
bartender says that's the strongest stuff they got.
Try it, Marty.
Blew the fuel injection manifold. Strong stuff, all right. It'll take me a month to rebuild it.
A month? Doc, you're gonna get shot on Monday.
I know. Wait. I got it. We can simply roll it down a steep hill. No, we never find a smooth enough surface. Unless, of course, ice. We'll wait until winter, when the lake freezes over.
Winter? Doc, what are you talking about? Monday, it's 3 days away.
All right. Just let's think this thing through logically. We know it won't run under its own power. We know we can't pull it. But if we can figure out a way to push it up to 88 miles an hour. Huh?
How fast did she go? Why, I've had her up to 55 myself. I hear that Fearless Frank Fargo got one of these up to near 70 out past Bernie Junction.
What do you think it's possible to get it up to 90?
Past 90? Carnation, son, who'd ever need to be in such a hurry?
Well, it's just a little bit he and I have, that's all. Theoretically speaking, could it be done?
Well, I suppose if you had a straight stretch of track with a level grade and you weren't hauling no cars behind you, and if you could get the fire hot enough, and I'm talking about hotter than the blazes of hell and damnation itself, then yes, it might be possible to get her up that fast.
Tell me, when's the next train come through here?
Monday morning at 8 o'clock.
Here! This spur that runs off the main line 3 miles out to Clayton Ravine. It's a long stretch of level track that will still exist in 1985. This is where we'll push the DeLorean with the locomotive. Funny. This map calls Clayton Ravine Shonash Ravine. That must be the old Indian name for it. Perfect. Nice long run that goes clear across the bridge over the ravine. You know, over near that Hilldale housing development?
Right, Doc, but according to this map, there is no bridge.
Well, Doc, we can scratch that idea. I mean, we can't wait around a year and a half for this thing to get finished.
Marty, it's perfect. You're just not thinking fourth dimensionally.
Right. I have a real problem with that.
Don't you see? The bridge will exist in 1985. It's safe and still in use. Therefore, as long as we get the DeLorean up to 88 miles an hour before we hit the edge of the ravine, we'll instantaneously arrive at a point in time where the bridge is completed. We'll have track under us and coast safely across the ravine.
What about the locomotive?
It'll be a spectacular wreck. Too bad no one will be around to see it.
Beautiful name.
you inside with these?
Oh, no, that won't be necessary. I can take care of it. You've done more than enough already.
But it's really no trouble.
Doc, she says it's fine. We gotta get going. Ma'am, good luck with your school teaching and everything.
Clara, I'll straighten everything out with Mr. Statler for the buckboard rental. Don't you worry about that. I feel somewhat responsible for what happened.
Well, that would be very gentlemanly of you, Mr. Brown. Emmett. You know, I'm almost glad that snake spooked those horses. Otherwise, we might never have met. Suppose it was destiny. Well, thank you for everything.
You're quite welcome.
I will see you again, won't I?
Of course. You'll see lots of me, I'm sure. I have a shop in town. I'm a local scientist. A blacksmith.
Science? What sort of science? Astronomy? Chemistry?
Actually, I'm a student of all sciences.
Hey, Doc. You gotta get going.
Oh, yes. Well, excuse us, Claire.
We have to get going.
Toodaloo.
What do you mean you're going to be seeing lots of her, Doc?
Well, I might see her again just in passing.
Come on, Doc. You see the way she was looking at you?
She did have quite a scare, right? After all, Miss Clayton almost ended up at the bottom of Clayton Ravine. Clayton Ravine?
Holy shit. Hey, Doc. Clayton Ravine was named after a teacher. They say she fell in there 100 years ago.
100 years ago? That's this year.
Every kid in school knows that story because we all have teachers we like to see fall into the ravine.
Great Scott! That she was supposed to go over in that wagon.
Now, I may have seriously altered history.
Look, Doc. What's the worst that can happen, huh? So they don't name the ravine after her. Let's just get the DeLorean ready and get the hell out of here.
I wish I'd never invented that infernal time machine. It's caused nothing but disaster.
Doc, this is Marty.
Do you read me? Over.
Check, Marty.
Great, Doc. These things still work.
All right, Marty. Once more, let's go over the entire plan and layout. I apologize for the crudity of this model.
Yeah, no, Doc. It's not the scale. It's okay, Doc.
All right. Tomorrow night, Sunday, we'll load the DeLorean onto the tracks here on the spur. Right by the old abandoned silver mine. The switch track is where the spur runs off the main line 3 miles out to Clayton. Shonash Ravine. The train leaves the station at 8 Monday morning. We'll stop it here, uncouple the cars from the tender, throw the switch track, and then we'll borrow the locomotive and use it to push the time machine. According to my calculations, we'll reach 88 miles per hour just before we hit the edge of the ravine, at which point we'll be instantaneously transported back to 1985 and coast safely across the completed bridge.
What does this mean? Point of no return.
That's our fail-safe point. Up until there, we still have enough time to stop the locomotive before it plunges into the ravine. But once we pass this windmill, it's the future or bust.
Here you go, Marty. Connect that to the positive terminal. All right, Marty, you all set?
Yeah, go.
Train pulling out of the station. Coming up to the switch track. Stop at the switch track. Throw the switch. Pull up to the DeLorean. Pushing the DeLorean. Up to 88 miles per hour.
It couldn't be simpler. Quick! Cover the DeLorean!
Hello.
Why, hello. This is quite a surprise.
Well, I hope I'm not disturbing anything.
Oh, no. We were just doing a little model railroad.
Emmett, when my bags were thrown from the wagon, my telescope was damaged. And since you mentioned an interest in science, I thought you might be able to repair it for me. I would pay you, of course.
No. I wouldn't think of charging you for this. Well, let's have a look at it.
I think a lens may be out of alignment because if you move it this way, the image turns fuzzy. See? But if you turn it farther away, then...
Everything becomes clear.
I can repair it right away and have it for you tonight.
Oh, tonight's the town festival. I wouldn't dream of having you work on my telescope during such an important occasion. You are planning on attending, aren't you?
Oh, well, actually, ma'am,
yes,
I don't think...
Of course, the festival.
Well, in that case, I'll see you this evening at the festival, Emmett. Mr. Eastwood?
Ma'am.
Thank you for taking care of my telescope.
You're quite welcome.
It's a nice telescope.
Ladies and gentlemen, as mayor of Hill Valley, it gives me great pleasure to dedicate this clock to the people of Hill County. May it stand for all time. Tell me when, gentlemen.
3, 2, 1, now!
Marty, in a way, it's fitting that you and I are here to witness this.
Too bad I didn't bring my camera.
Ready, gentlemen? The only problem is we'll never be able to show it to anybody.
Smile, Doc.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Would you like... would you care to...
I love you.
You want to give it a try?
No, thanks. Hey, Doctor.
Son! Funny boy!
Doc.
Son! Hey! I just told you that even a baby can handle this weapon. Surely you're not afraid to try something that a baby could do.
Hey, I'm not afraid of nothing.
Oh, come on, man. Let's just step up here like a baby. Now, here. What you do is you just ease that hammer back there and squeeze off around.
No.
Right on out there and be real smooth. That's the way you do it.
Listen, can I try that again?
Yeah, go on.
Tell me one thing. Where did you learn to shoot like this?
7-Eleven.
Are you sure that blacksmith's gonna be this here shindig?
Sure he's here. Everybody's here tonight.
You gentlemen will have to check your firearms if you want to join in on the festivities.
You're gonna make a tenderfoot, you?
I am.
I didn't know you was back in town.
If you can't read the sign, Tannen, I presume you can read this.
Pretty tough armor when you're pointing a scattergun at a man's back.
Just like you, Tannen, I take every advantage I can get. Now, you're going to check your iron?
I was just joking with you, Deputy. Of course I'm going to check my iron. We all were, weren't we, boys?
Yeah, right.
Tannen, your knife, too.
After all, this is a party.
The only party I'll be smiling at is the one that sees you at the end of a rope.
Have fun!
So that's how you handle him, son. Never give him an inch. And maintain discipline at all times. Remember that word. Discipline.
I will, Pa.
Why, Mr. Eastwood, nice to see you. I see you got yourself some respectable clothes, lad. And a fine hat.
Yeah, well, a couple people didn't like the way the other one looked on me.
Sure, and that one suits you, Mr. Eastwood. It's very good, Coleman.
Oh, thanks. Hey, Frisbee, far out. What was the meaning of that?
It was right in front of him.
I... Arthur, halfway back to the
dancing with that piece of calico.
What are you gonna do, boss?
Figure. If I bury this muzzle deep enough in his back, nobody will hear the shot.
Careful, Buford. You ain't got but one bullet with that.
I only need one. I told you to watch your back, Smithy.
Tannen, with your hurley.
It's a derringer, Smithy. Small but effective. Last time I used it, fellas took 2 whole days to die. Bled to death inside. It was real, real pain. That means you'll be dead by about supper time Monday.
Excuse me, I don't know who you think you are, but we're dancing.
Well, look at what we have here. Ain't you gonna introduce me to the lady? I'd like a dance.
I wouldn't give you that pleasure. You'll just have to go ahead and shoot.
All right.
No, Emmett, I'll dance with him, Emmett.
Boy, keep the blacksmith company while I get acquainted with
the
Billy.
Yeah! Yeah!
I don't dance very well when my partner has a gun in his hand.
Oh, you learn. You learn.
You know, Smithy, maybe I'll just take my $80 worth out of her.
Whoa! Yeah. I bet there's something you can do that's worth $80.
I believe you've underestimated me, mister.
What have I now?
Stop it! Damn you, Tannen!
No. I damn you. I damn you to hell! You.
Hey, lighten up, jerk!
Mighty strong words, runt. You man enough to back him up with more than just a pie plate?
Look, just leave my friends alone.
What's wrong, dude? You yellow?
That's what I thought. Yellow belly.
Nobody calls me yellow.
Let's finish it right now.
Down there, Buford. Marshall's got our guns.
Like I said, we'll finish this tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're robbing the Pan City stage.
What about Monday? We doing anything Monday?
No, Monday be fine. You can kill him on Monday.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the palace alone.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Noon. I do my killing before breakfast. 7 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I do my killing after breakfast.
Marty.
All right, now break it up. What's all this about? You causing trouble here, Tannen?
No trouble, Marshal. Just a little personal matter between me and Eastwood. This don't concern the law.
Tonight, everything concerns the law. Now break it up. Any brawling, it's 15 days in the county jail. All right, folks, come on. This is a party. Come on, let's have some fun.
Monday. If you ain't here, I'll hunt you and shoot you down like a duck.
It's dog, Buford. Shoot him down like a dog.
Let's go, boys! Let these bitches have their party!
Marty, what are you doing? Say you're gonna meet Tannen.
Hey, Doc, don't worry about it. Monday morning, 8 a.m., we're gonna be gone, right?
Theoretically, yes, but what if the train's late?
Late?
We'll discuss this later.
We'll discuss it now. Late, what?
Thank you for your gallantry, Mr.
No, hey, ma'am.
Had you not interceded him, it might have been shot.
Marty, I'm gonna take Clara home.
You right. Sure can said I, Doc, can I, Clara? Straight, Mr. Eastwood? I'm glad somebody finally got the gumption to stand up to that son of a bitch.
You're all right in my book, Mr. Eastwood. I'd like to buy you a drink.
Hey, listen, I don't want to drink. I'm surviving anything. It was no big deal. I'd
like for you to have this brand new Colt Peacemaker and gun belt. Free of charge.
Free?
I want everybody to know that the gun that shot Buford Tannen was a Colt Peacemaker.
Hey, no problem. Thanks a lot.
Of course, you understand that if you lose, I'm taking it back.
Thanks again.
You had him, Mr. Eastwood. You could have just walked away and nobody would have talked to less of you for it.
All it would have been was words, hot air from a buffoon.
Instead, you let him roil you.
Roil you into playing his game, his way. Boy, his rules. Seamus, relax. I know what I'm doing.
He reminds me of poor Mark.
Aye. Who? Me brother. Wait a minute. You a brother named Martin McFly? Had a brother. Martin used to let men provoke him into fighting. He was concerned that people would think him a coward if he refused. That's how he got a bowie knife shoved through his belly in a saloon in Virginia City. Never considered the future, poor Martin, God rest his soul.
Sure, and I hope you're considering the future, Mr. Eastwood.
I think about it all the time.
And that crater in the middle northwest, the one that's out there all by itself like a starburst?
Uh-huh.
That one's called Copernicus. Listen to me. I feel like I'm teaching school.
No. Please, continue the lesson. I never found lunar geography so fascinating. You're quite knowledgeable.
When I was 11, I had diphtheria. I was quarantined for 3 months. So my father brought this telescope and he put it next to my bed so I could see everything out the window. Emmett, do you think we'll ever be able to travel to the moon the way we travel across the country on trains?
Definitely. Although not for another 84 years, not on trains. We'll have space vehicles, capsules settle off, rockets, devices that create giant explosions. Explosions so powerful that
they break the pull of the Earth's gravity and send the projectile through outer space. Emmett, I read that book too. You're quoting Jules Verne, From the Earth to the Moon.
You've read Jules Verne.
I adore Jules Verne.
So do I. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, my absolute favorite. The first time I read that when I was a little boy, why I wanted to meet Captain Nemo.
Please, Emmy, you couldn't have read that when you were a little boy. It was only first published 10 years ago.
Oh, yes. Well, I meant it made me feel like a boy. I never met a woman who liked Jules Verne before.
I never ever met a man like you before.
Doing. You talking to me? You talking to me, Tannen? Well, I'm the only one here. Go ahead. Make my day.
Say good morning, Mr. Eastwood.
Morning. Have a cigar, Mr. Eastwood.
Anything I can do for you today, Mr. Eastwood?
No, it's fine.
Good luck tomorrow, Mr. Eastwood. We'll be praying for you.
Thanks.
Good morning, Mr. Eastwood. Interest you in a new suit for tomorrow?
I'm fine. Thanks. Doc, what are you doing?
Oh, nothing. I'm just out enjoying the morning air.
It's really lovely here in the morning, don't you think?
Yeah, it's lovely, Doc. Listen, we're going to load the DeLorean up and get ready to roll, all right? Hey, look at that, the tombstone.
Marty, let me see that phone back. My name, it's vanished.
Hey, that's great, Doc. Don't you get it? We're going back to the future tomorrow, so everything's being erased.
But only my name is erased. The tombstone itself and the date still remain. That doesn't make sense. We know that this photograph represents what will happen if the events of today continue to run their course into tomorrow.
Right, so.
Excuse me, Mr. Eastwood. I just need to take your measurement.
Oh, look, pal, I don't want to buy a suit.
No, this is for your coffin.
My coffin?
Well, the odds are running 2-1 against you. Might as well be prepared.
So, may not be my name that's supposed to end up on this tombstone. It may be yours.
Great Scott.
I know, this is heavy. Marty, why are you wearing that gun? You're not considering going up against Tannen tomorrow.
Doc, tomorrow morning I'm going back to the future with you. If Buford Tannen comes looking for trouble, I'm going to be ready for him. You heard what that son of a bitch called me last night.
Marty, you can't go losing your judgment every time someone calls you a name. That's exactly what causes you to get into that accident in the future.
What? What about my future?
I can't tell you. It might make things worse.
Wait a minute, Doc. What is wrong with my future?
Marty, we all have to make decisions that affect the course of our lives. You've got to do what you've got to do. And I've got to do what I've got to do. Marty.
Yeah.
I've made a decision.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going with you tomorrow. I'm staying here.
What are you talking about, Doc?
There's no point in denying it. I'm in love with Clara.
Oh, man. Doc, we don't belong here. Neither one of us. You know, it could still be you that gets shot tomorrow. This tombstone could still be in your future.
Marty, the future isn't written. It can be changed, you know that. Anyone can make their future whatever they want it to be. I can't let this one little photograph determine my entire destiny. I have to live my life according to what I believe is right. In my heart.
Doc, you're a scientist. So you tell me, what's the right thing to do up here? Go back to the future? I mean, he's not gonna understand that, Doc. Hell, I'm in it with you, and I don't even understand it. Doc, listen. Maybe we can just take Clara with us.
To the future? But you reminded me, Marty. I'm a scientist, so I must be scientific about this. I caution you about disrupting the continuum for your own personal benefit. Therefore, I must do no less. We shall proceed as planned, and as soon as we return to 1985, we'll destroy this infernal machine. Traveling through time has become much too painful. Clara.
Oh, Emmett, won't you come in?
No, I better not.
What's wrong?
I've come to say goodbye.
Goodbye? Well, where are you going?
I'm going away. Well, I'm afraid I'll never see you again.
Emmett.
Clara, I want you to know that I care about you deeply. But I realize that I don't belong here, and I have to go back where I came from.
And where might that be?
I can't tell you.
Well, wherever you go, and take me with you.
I can't, Clara. I wish it didn't have to be this way, but just believe me when I tell you that I'll never forget you. And I love you.
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Clara, I don't think there's any way that you can understand it.
Please, Emmett, please, I have to know. If you sincerely do love me, then tell me the truth.
All right, then. I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that I invented. And tomorrow I have to go back to the year 1985.
Yes, Emmett. Do understand. I understand because you know I'm partial to the writings of Jules Verne. You concocted those mendacities in order to take advantage of me. Oh, I've heard some whoppers in my day, but the fact that you'd expect me to entertain a notion like that is so insulting and degrading. All you had to say is I don't love you and I don't want to see you anymore. That at least would have been respectful.
But that's not the truth.
Sure, you know what happened to you on the 4th of July.
Whiskey.
Okay, I ain't your papa.
Just don't want to see you do the wrong thing.
Hey, leave the bottle.
It's a warrant, right? I knew it. I have seen that look on a man's face 1,000 times all across the country. Well, all I can tell you, friend, is you'll get over her.
Clara is one in a million. One in a billion. One in a Googleplex. The woman of my dreams, and I lost her for all time.
I can assure you, sir, there are other women. I have peddling this barbed wire all across the country has taught me one thing, certain. It's that you never know what the future might bring.
Well, the future. Oh, I can tell you about the future.
Doc! Doc!
Wake up! Get up!
I saw it!
I got me to run to you!
Still early, boss. You hurry.
Hungry. And in the future, we don't need horses. We have motorized carriages called automobiles.
If everybody's got one of these auto, what's it? Does anybody walk or run anymore?
Of course we run. But for recreation, for fun.
Run for fun? What the hell kind of fun is that?
He has.
None. That's the first one. He hadn't touched it yet. He just likes to hold it.
Doc! Doc! What are you doing?
I've lost her, Marty. There's nothing left for me here.
All right, but that's why you gotta come back with me.
Where?
Back to the future.
Right. Let's get going.
Right.
Gentlemen, excuse me, but my friend and I have to catch a train.
Here's to you, Blacksmith!
And to the future.
Amen. Amen!
Damn it, no! Ah! 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 Come on, Doc. Wake up. Wake up, Doc. How many do you have?
Just the one.
Just the one? Come on, Doc.
There's a fella that can't hold his liquor.
Give me some coffee. Black.
Joey, coffee!
Ma'am?
far does the 8 o'clock train go?
Well, San Francisco is the end of the line.
I'll take a one-way ticket.
You want to sober him up in a hurry, son, you're going to have to use something a lot stronger than coffee.
Yeah, what do you suggest?
Joey! Let's make some wake-up juice. In about 10 minutes, he's going to be as sober as a priest on Sunday.
10 minutes? Why do we have to cut these things so damn close?
Here, stick this clothespin on his nose. And when he opens up his mouth, go ahead and pour it on down his gullet. Oh, and stand back.
That was just a reflex action.
Oh, it's going to take a few more minutes for the stuff to really clear up your head.
Perfect. Come on, Doc. Come on, wake up, buddy. Wake up, Doc. Come on. Come on.
Seamus! Wouldn't expect to see you here this morning.
Hey. Well, something inside me told me I should be here. As if my future had something to do with it.
Come on. You come around in a minute. Come on.
Come on, Doc. Let's go, Doc. Let's wake up now, buddy. Come on.
It's 8 o'clock, and I'm calling you out.
It's not 8 o'clock yet.
It is by my watch. Let's settle this once and for all, Rut. All right, you got the gumps.
Listen. I'm not really feeling up to this today. So I'm gonna have to forfeit.
Forfeit? Forfeit? What's that mean?
It means that you win without a fight.
Without shooting? You can't do that. Hey, you can't do that! You know what I think? I think you ain't nothing but a gutless yellow turd. And I'm giving you to the count of 10 to come out here and prove I'm wrong. One!
Doc, come on, sober up, buddy. Let's go.
Two!
You better get out there, son. I got $20 gold bet on you, so don't let me down.
Three!
I got $30 gold bet against you, so don't let me down.
Four!
You better face up to it, son, because if you don't go out there...
What?
Five!
What if I don't go out there? You're a coward.
Six!
And you'll be branded a coward for the rest of your days. Everybody, everywhere, will say Clint Eastwood is the biggest yellow belly in the West.
Seven!
Here.
Eight!
I already got a gun.
Nine! Ten! You hear me wrong? I said that's 10, you gutless yellow pie slinger!
He's an asshole. I don't care what Tannen says. And I don't care what anybody else says, either. Doc, you okay?
I think so. Whoa, what a headache.
Listen, you got a back door to this place?
Yeah, it's in the back.
Let's go, Doc.
Are you coming out here, or do I have to come in there after you?
The thing I really miss here is Tylenol.
Hey!
Yes, sir. That poor fellow last night had the worst case of broken heart I have ever seen. When he said he didn't know how he could live the rest of his life, knowing how much hurt he'd caused that little girl, well, I really felt for him. I did, right here.
Listen up, Eastwood. I aim to shoot somebody today, and I'd prefer it be you. But if you're just too damn yellow, guess it'll just have to be a blacksmith, friend.
Forget about me, Marty, and save yourself!
You got 1 minute to decide. You hear me, Ron? 1 minute!
I've never seen a man so broken up over a woman. What did you say her name was? Kara? Sarah?
Clara.
Clara!
Excuse me.
Ma'am?
But was this man tall, with great big brown puppy dog eyes and long silvery flowing hair?
You know him.
Him.
We can settle this like men.
You thought wrong, dude.
Going to jail.
Oh.
Get him out of that shit.
Get him!
Buford Tannen, you're under arrest for robbing the Pine City Stage. You got anything to say?
I hate my nose.
Look! Yes!
The train!
Can we make it?
We'll have to cut him off at Coyote Pass.
Thanks, kid. Seamus. It's worth $12, never been used. Maybe I'll trade it for a new hat.
Ride it, take care of that baby.
I will.
Pestle logs. Pest wood with anthracite dust, chemically treated to burn hotter and longer.
I use them in my forge so I don't have to stoke it. These three in the furnace will ignite sequentially, make the fire burn hotter, kick up the boiler pressure, and make the train go faster.
Thank you.
It's destroyed. Just like you want it.
Biff.
40! I didn't mean to scare you. I didn't recognize you in those clothes.
What the hell are you doing?
Just putting on the second coat now. You going cowboy, huh?
Come on, guys. We're going to be late for brunch.
Come on, Dad. We're not going to hold your reservations all day.
I can't find my other glasses. Lorraine, have you seen my glasses?
Turn your plate jacket, honey. Marty. What's wrong? We thought you went to the lake.
You wore that to the lake?
Thank God, you guys are all back to normal.
Hey, Marty, who are you supposed to be? Clint Eastwood?
Right. I gotta go get Jennifer. I really like that hat, Marty.
Thanks, Biff. Jennifer. Jennifer.
The worst nightmare. Marty, that dream I had is so real. It's about the future. About us. And you got fired.
Wait a minute, what do you mean I got fired?
Ildale. Ildale, this is where we live.
I mean, this is where we're gonna live. Someday.
Marty, it was a dream, wasn't it?
The big fan. How's it hanging, McFly? Hey, Needles. Nice set of wheels. Let's see what she can do. Next green light.
No, thanks.
What's the matter? Chicken?
Marty, don't.
Grab hold of something.
Come on, bud! Get up!
Stupid enough to race that asshole? Jeez. I would have hit that Rolls Royce.
It erased. Right, there's not much left.
Doc's never coming back. I'm sure gonna miss him, Jen. What the hell?
This is Marty and Jennifer.
Doc, I thought I'd never see you again.
You can't keep a good scientist down. After all, I had to come back from Einstein. Well, I didn't want you to be worried about me. Oh, I brought you a little souvenir.
Future hasn't been written yet. No one's had. Your future is what